Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. Today, part two of Creating a Family with John McNeese. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Hello, listeners. I just want to remind you that today is part two of John McNeese's story about how to create a family. If family is your passion and you have not achieved that yet, go back and listen to part one. It's a very inspirational story about one person's experience, John McNeese. Now, he started yesterday's episode with a passage that simply states, family is everything. And to John, family is everything. But it was never something he had good modeling for. It was never something he believed he could achieve for himself. However, that's exactly what he set his sights on, and that's exactly what he did achieve. But equally as important to John was how to keep that family, how to value it, how to respect it, how to nurture it. And I want you to really listen today to how John feels about being a father, being a husband, and having his family. It's really endearing, and I think you're going to get a lot out of it. So stay tuned, listeners. Part two with John McNeese.
I never questioned whether or not I would be a good father, because it doesn't matter to me if I'm a good father. It matters to him if I'm a good father. It matters to both, you know, all three of my children. It matters to my wife if I'm a good father. I don't need to be a good father for me. I need to be a good father for them. My father says to me, as we're walking down the hall, when I first started having kids, as if I'm, you know, standing there, it was just something you did. Now it's like a really big deal. And I was like,
oh,
I got this.
Right.
You know, and I, at that point, that's when I knew that I was like, you know, I don't like negative motivation. But now you've kind of set the bar. Now I know why I want this, because I know I can do a better job than you.
Right.
And I want to. It was just one of those things. I don't even think he realized who he said it to.
Right. He never had the respect he needed to have for you. Not when you were younger and not then.
No.
So
yeah, he doesn't now, but that's a whole other issue.
Right. But, well, yeah, but people don't change. You know, your parents, they don't change. So he didn't have it when you were growing up. He didn't have it then. He's not going to have it now.
Yeah. Yeah. On the positive side of the coin, my mother became the grandmother's grandmother. I mean, she was just everything that she did was about her grandchildren. And she loved every second of it.
Wow.
But, and, you know, so that was, you know, it was a whole different thing now. You know, it's like, here it is. It happened, you know? And then I was right on top of it, you know, everything he needed. And girls were a different story. When they were born, it was still every bit as joyous as Daniel, but there was, a twist, to say the least. But everything that I had ever hoped for happened that day, the day that, that Danny was born.
Just so listeners know, Daniel was born, and then the girls are twins, so they were born early. And they had medical issues.
They were born at 34 weeks. Allison was 3 pounds, 7 ounces. And Lexi was 3 pounds, 12 ounces. Lucy was in the hospital for 2 weeks before they were even born because we knew they were coming. We knew they were coming early. And, you know, I'm not a religious guy, but God never gives you more than you can handle. This was pretty close. I remember the day that we found out we were having two. Not to backpedal here, but Lucy says, okay, let's try to have our second kid. Okay. you know, we're having so much fun with this first one. Let's, you know, and he's 2 years old and he's talking and we're watching cartoons together and we're just the best of friends. So I was like, oh, this one's so much fun. Yeah, let's, you know, have one more. So I was like, we can do that?
No, you couldn't do that. You had to have two more.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what happens is, like I said, it, in a number of ways, it's you're not going to get more than what you can handle. And I like to think that, you know, somebody upstairs saw what a good job we were doing with Dan, realized, well, these two should have two more, you know. So that's my positive spin on it.
Yeah, so I think everybody who has twins, they should all take that philosophy. You got two because you were doing such a great job with your other one or ones.
Exactly. Twins actually run in Lucy's side of the family. She has two brothers. Well, she has a total of four brothers, but two of them are identical twins. And she has uncles on her mother's side who are also identical twins. So all in the same bloodline, her grandmother, her mother, and her have a set of identical twins. So I can't even take any credit for it. We went to a new OBGYN because she didn't like the old one. So we went to a new one, and we didn't like her either, but what do you know, we had to have one. We were pregnant. So we go back. We go to the initial visit, the one where, yeah, you're pregnant, and congratulations, here's your due date. And then we go, she says, I want you to come back in a week, though. And we're like, why? And she says, well, the temperature's not quite right, whatever that meant. I'm no doctor. So I want to check you out again. I'm like, okay. So we go again. And I'm sitting in a chair kind of behind her. Lucy's up on the table. And there's a nurse behind me, and she's holding up two fingers, like a peace sign kind of thing. And I'm like, well, what? I'm like, what is it? Is she signaling the other nurse? What is she doing? Because nobody's saying anything. And I'm like, so I find, what's with the two fingers? She goes, you've got two babies.
Oh.
And I said, what do you mean two babies? You know, I was like, what do you mean? She goes, yeah, twins. And I laughed my ass off. Lucy cried. I said, you know, be careful what you wish for, because how many times did you, so, you know, hear me say, I want to have kids. I want to have a family. I want to have kids. I want to have a family. And then, and again, not to say be careful what you wish for, because I wouldn't trade anything in the world for two little girls. So then they throw, there's another curveball in there. She goes, I need to see you in another week. So she sees it in another week. And she and I'm going to mispronounce this, and Lucy's going to look at me funny when she listens to this. But they were monoamniotic twins, which basically means there's two cords, two babies, and that's it. There's no separation between the two, which most twins, there's a membrane that separates the two of them, and there's two placenta. We have one placenta, no membrane, two cords, two babies right on top of each other, which runs, I'm not going to go through all the risks, but there's a lot of them.
Okay.
The main one is twin-to-twin transfusion, where one twin gets all the nutrients and the other one doesn't. And the one that doesn't basically dies. So you run that risk the whole time. And it's somewhat with quote-unquote regular traditional twins. And again, I'm not using any of my medical terminology, but it's a higher risk with the mono-mono twins. So we're in doctor's office every week. We went to a monofetal doc in the hospital as opposed to our regular OBGYN. He says they could end up being conjoined. He goes through all the risks. And, you know, he at one point recommended termination, which was never an option on either one of our, you know, no. It's, you know, we're going to ride this out and whatever happens, happens. We spent that entire year in a hospital. Her father had medical issues. My mother had medical issues and eventually passed from it later that year. So we virtually spent the entire year 2010 in either a doctor's office or a hospital.
Then the girls are born early.
And yeah, they were born early. We were in the hospital every day. We went in shifts. My mom was still alive at the time. So she'd come here, watch Danny. And then, you know, we'd split shifts. She'd go to the hospital with me, or I go to the hospital with Lucy, or we'd have Saturdays where we spend the whole day down there, and every day they were hooked up to less stuff. It was the longest 8 weeks of my life.
What did you learn about yourself during this entire process? Meaning from your first marriage to finding Lucy, to trusting in love again, to achieving the home and the kids and all that reality that comes with it. Where are you now?
I'm living the dream. I genuinely am living the dream. Who knows if I deserve half of, you know, it's not for me or anybody else to decide whether or not I deserve it or any of the gifts that I have. And it's like the little things. I mean, I learned that you're never going to get more than what you can handle, number one.
But what'd you learn about yourself?
God, there's so many things.
Yeah, but you know what? It really sounds like you're having a hard time complimenting yourself here.
I do. I learned that I'm capable of so much more than what I ever thought I was capable of. It's coming to me now. I didn't know that, God, I'm going to get emotional on this. I can't believe it. I genuinely didn't know that I was capable of this much love, giving or getting. Honestly didn't know that I was, that, you know, everybody says things, oh, when you have kids, it's all different. And you're like, and if you don't have children, you don't know. And you compliment, you smile and you nod and you agree because you don't know. And then it happens. And you're like, oh, now I get it.
That's really
that
awesome.
I had the one thing is I had no idea that I had this capacity to love another human. I mean, I love my wife, you know, I loved her before we had children. So I knew I was capable of that much love. But then when my kids came along, it was like, oh, wow, this is different. It never gets old. The other morning, I get up, I'm the first one up, I make a cup of coffee, I come outside on my front porch, I turn on the TV, and, you know, I enjoy my 10 minutes of silence because somebody heard me and they're going to follow me out here. And then one of them comes out and she sits down in the chair next to me, and the other one comes out and she just crawls up onto my lap, gives me a kiss. And then that's, you know, I'm done at that point. The day has been made.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, exactly. There's more to it than the little things. I mean, we do things together. That was something I learned from that we didn't do when I was growing up. We all do karate together.
If I was to ask you, did you receive any advice along the way that helped you here? What would you say to that?
When you're by yourself and the right person hasn't come along yet, you hear a lot of things from people who are married. Like, it's going to happen for you. You're a good person. Somebody's bound to like you, which you don't at that time ever think that it's true because it's not happening right there. It's not. You're not getting that instant gratification. I want what I want and I want it now. It's not happening. But then when somebody tells you that you're capable of that, you're going to make a great parent someday. You're going to be a great husband to somebody someday. It's not so much maybe a piece of advice, but it's the encouragement to somebody, and especially to somebody that maybe didn't get a lot of encouragement or positive encouragement, telling somebody that you can do something. You have to put your mind to it. You can do anything you want. That's probably the best piece of advice that I ever got and could even give to anybody.
No, that's great.
If you put your mind to something, you can achieve anything. And I had my mind on doing exactly what I'm doing today. You know, being a father, being a husband, having all this. And, you know, somebody once said to me, and says, like, I don't know how you're going to do three kids in this small house. I said, listen, I've lived in smaller. You know, but at the same time, this is a mansion to me. You know, it's not we need a bigger house, but that's neither here nor there. But, and we know that. And when the economy is better and the market improves, we'll certainly make that happen. But for right now, I get more than I ever thought I would, you know, and I'm not talking about bricks and mortar. I mean, just the house is filled. It's got everything in it I've ever wanted.
Right.
You know, it's there.
When you were on this quest over your lifetime to kind of achieve what you didn't believe was achievable at the time, did you read or was there any book that you read that kind of appealed to you?
After I was married, and actually I only had Danny, I read Keith Richards' autobiography, which at first glance, you're like, oh, Keith Richards, well, he's just a drugged out rock star. you know what a big Rolling Stones fan I am, and you know Keith Richards is a guitar player in the Rolling Stones who looked like he should have died 25 years ago. But as I'm reading this book, and he's my favorite out of the entire band, so I'm like really into this book, and the guy has such a strong bond with family. And here's a guy that you would never expect, that this is like a every bit a family man. In fact, he ended up writing a children's book with one of his daughters, which is hysterical and funny to me, but I bought it, so it worked. In fact, I took it to my son's first grade class. I signed up to be guest reader. This children's book is about how his grandfather took him for these long walks through London. And there was this guitar sitting on top of a piano. Keith was a little kid. He couldn't reach the guitar. His grandfather said, when you can reach it, you can play it. So they would keep going on these walks, and they kept going to this music store. And his grandfather would buy new guitar strings or, you know, just whatever he needed for his own musical instruments at home. But he would get these life lessons from his grandfather. His father was around, but he wasn't. You know, he was like a longshoreman or something. I forget what it was. He was away a lot, but, and, you know, the parents were split up or whatever. I don't remember all the details there, but he would go on these long walks through London and sometimes even overnight with his grandfather and go to this music store. And then they would come back and then they would play with the dog. And then finally, you know, the grandfather let him play the guitar. I'm thinking, well, there's a family thing there too. You know, it's all without your family, you have nothing. Absolutely nothing. It makes me want to get up every day. It makes me want to go out and do things. And, you know, not to go off on that tangent, but getting back to his autobiography, it's called Life. He's only been married once. He's got four or five kids, I think it is. Everything seemed to sidetrack throughout this book back to his son or his daughters or his wife. And, you know, middle of the book, write a passage about a song and you'd read it and it would be about this person, but it's always a family member.
Right.
And, you know, and it was just, the whole thing ends with his parents and the whole thing. I was like, wow, I just wanted to read about crazy road stories about a rock band. And here I got this story about family.
Right.
And his strong family bond, you know, for a guy who's pretty much spent his life on the road.
Those are two pretty interesting books that you just recommended.
They actually are. The children's book was fantastic. When I walked into the class, I didn't tell him I was coming. And he kind of rolls his eyes because he knows what book I brought with me without me even telling him. You know? So, you know, that was kind of funny. But the kid liked it. It was so cool.
Definitely. So cool, but I want to talk about what the other thing that you guys do. And I would consider this a resource for families because I think it's really, I've seen pictures that you post online and I think that it's something that people can learn from just from seeing your family doing this together. And I know, I think it started with just Daniel going to karate and then you started joining him and then the girls started going and now Lucy goes and all five of you are doing competitions, right?
Yeah, we were talking about this the other day is as of 2 weeks ago, every one of us is an award-winning martial artist.
That's amazing. I know that you and your family are huge fans of the karate school that you go to.
Master Black's martial arts is fantastic. It's basically run by him and his family. It's in Lawrenceville, Mercerville, it all kind of blends into one town. And he's fantastic. The whole family is, and all the instructors. It's very family-oriented, it's very zen, and very... you go in and he only expects you to put effort in. We genuinely love the school and love the people we train with.
But John, that's the other thing I'm always trying to say to my listeners or my audiences and is that when you know, put something new into your life and do something new into your life, then you're all of a sudden you have a whole new group of people that are in your life. So different events to go to, Facebook groups to be a part of, you're texting people, you're getting together, you know, you're getting your kids together, whatever it is. So when you pull something new into your life, then your life gets better, period. It gets more fun.
It does. That's exactly what it did. The operative word here is motivation. Like I said, Danny started going. I just happened to casually mention that I'd like to get some exercise to Master Black or, you know, who owns a school. And the next time I was in there, he handed me a uniform. He said, try it. You like it, you don't. And then I loved it. I was hooked. And then I walk into a class. I took a class with Danny for a while. We were, you know, they have an open family class on Saturday. So at some point we would all mix it up and all kind of go together. And it's just something fun that we can all do together. You know, how did you do with this? Oh, well, we did this. We all, you know, we do our rankings at around the same time, different at different times, but it, you know, they have test week every 3 months, and you know, Lucy and I'll go to the adult test, and then the kids go to their, Danny's a class ahead of his sister. So, you know, how did you do when you did this part? How did you, and you know, now we all have something to talk about at the dinner table.
Right. That's fun.
You know, and not that we didn't, but we, you know, this is something that we, all five of us have common ground with. You know, Danny and I have a ton of things in common. You know, we're, you know, huge, both of us are huge superhero and sci-fi geeks. So we can sit at the table talking about superheroes and with all the superhero movies and sci-fi stuff that comes out. It's, you know, I say to him, I said, you have no idea what a great time it is to be a superhero fan, because every 3 weeks there's another movie coming out. But the girls look at us and like we have three heads. So, you know, this is something that all five of us can get behind, you know.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. I think that's really, really healthy for your family. So, John, if somebody was envisioning having a family of their own and making this happen for them, what would you say they do?
Just let it happen. Don't try too hard.
Excellent. Explore. How could they explore this for themselves?
You know, nowadays there's tons of websites you can go to, and, you know, technology has brought that, brought people together. You know, Facebook, Twitter, Match.com. You know what? Walk up to somebody and open a dialogue. Don't use a typical pickup line, you know, what's your sign? So just walk up to somebody and say hello. That's what I did, and here I am, three kids and a mortgage later.
I would say the second half of your answer there was how you executed. You walk up to somebody and act.
Yeah, I saw a picture. I liked her smile. I said hello. And you have to execute every day. You have to try every day. You have to put effort into, whether it's your girlfriend, fiance, wife, you know, whoever it is, your children, you have to execute it every day. You can't just wake up one day and, well, I don't feel like being a dad today. I don't feel like being a husband today. You can't, you know, once you're in, you're in. It's a commitment. So I would say if it were to execute, I would say make the commitment every day.
Great. Now, we talked about your life process in really good detail today, but where do you see yourself 5 years from now?
Really not much different. I'd like, in 5 years from now, we mentioned the karate. I'd like to see us, you know, at least two of us getting our black belts together. Just because we started something, and one of the rules that I like to instill in my children is you don't start something not to finish. It's one thing if you don't want to do this any, you know, whatever it may be, if you don't want to do it anymore, finish what you're doing first and then move on to something else. Don't quit in the middle. You know, I'd like to see us just still doing the same thing. We have so much fun together. We do so many fun things. We're quote unquote camping next weekend, or next week actually, for the entire week. And by camping, I mean, we're staying in a cabin with all the amenities. We're not tenting or anything like that, but we're going to a place where they love it. It's got pools and water slides, all that kind of stuff. So I want to just keep doing that. I want to go to Disney every year. You know, we just had our first trip to Disney, and it was my first time since I was my son's age. And it's all they talk about. So what do I want to be doing in 5 years? I want to be just as healthy as I am today, and I want to be doing the same thing, maybe in a bigger house.
That's great. So what would your closing advice be to listeners?
Let it happen. It will. And don't ever be afraid to be yourself. You mentioned or alluded to it earlier. Then I'm definitely, I can't remember what the words you used were. Something along the lines that I'm somewhat unique. And one of my favorite things about my family is they love me for me. And I'm a little wacky. There's no two ways about that. So are they. But be yourself, and that person will come, and the happiness will come as long as you allow it to. And, you know, just don't be afraid to talk to somebody. You know, if you're a person who's, you know, somewhat shy, which is, that's never really been that big of an issue for me. I've never been shy, but what, you know, I see sometimes with my children, it's like, look, you just walk up to this person. They're not a stranger. Say hello, shake their hand, you know, just don't be creepy. Just say hello. You know, I mean, in today's day and age, it's strange to do that to somebody. Some people would find that strange, but if the person politely says go away, then do it. But at the same time, if the conversation keeps going, then keep it going as long as the person wants you around.
Okay. So, John, you are already a member of the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System community that we have on Facebook. Did you want to give any other information, like your Facebook name, in case anybody wanted to reach out specifically to you?
John, J-O-N, McNeese. Yeah, I'm on Facebook. So, you know, the more the merrier. Welcome to send me a, you know, friend request. That's really it. I post a lot of the karate stuff. I'm always posting something about my kids or my family or, you know, something they said or did that day or, you know, that kind of stuff. So.
Well, I want to thank you for being on the show, John. And as always, you are one of the most honest people that I know and always so free to share your thoughts and emotions. So thank you so much for sharing that with my listeners, because I know there's so many people out there who may be feeling that, you know, either life isn't going to change from the way it is right now, or they will never achieve some of the things that you've always wanted and ended up achieving.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You said something in your show the other from Friday about it can change in an instant. Good or bad, it can change in an instant. But that's exactly what happened to me. One minute I didn't have everything, you know, that I had what I had, the way my life was. And then the next minute, whether I knew it or not, that was over. I had everything I'd ever wanted. And we're going to celebrate 10 years in October. And God bless you for it, because anybody that sticks with me for 10 years, that's a hell of a person.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody. So here's your go-do for John McNeese's episodes. I simply want you to think about all of those things John mentioned. Is your passion getting a family? Are you happy with where your life is in this stage of the game? If not, why not? And how can you make change? So all I'm asking you to do is to take a serious look in the mirror. Be honest with yourself. Think of ways that you can move forward in life. How can you take responsibility? Come to our Facebook page, Motivate Me Ultimate Support System. Let us help you.